All right, so for those of you, you probably know who I am, so I'm not going to introduce myself. And I'm sure you know who this guy is.
Hi.
But we're super thankful and honored to be able to serve the students here at Tomoka. You guys are amazing. We love it. It's not something that we feel like we have to do. It's something that we just love to do. Mm-hmm. And so we're so thankful for that. Yeah. So Pastor Cord has been in a series about the hands of Jesus, right? And so by this point, you've probably seen a pattern that's happening, right? When Jesus comes on the scene and when Jesus lays his hands on people and is there in their presence, things transform, right? And so we're so thankful that we get a front row seat to see what Jesus is doing in the lives of students as we break down this passage of scripture that we're going to talk about tonight. And so, if you've got your Bibles, you can go ahead over to Mark chapter 10, and we're going to be in verse 13 through 16 will be our main passage. We're not going to go there yet, but I have a question for you. Have you ever found yourself in daily things? I need to stand up. I'm so sorry. Have you ever found yourself in daily life using things that you don't even think about? Like, it's just there. It just exists. Like, you don't even give it a second thought. It just works. Is anybody there? You wake up, like your toothbrush. Do you really think about your toothbrush? Some of you probably do. Okay, that's a different story. But anyway, those are things that we don't even think about. We don't really give much credit to. For me, I received one of the best, not the only, but one of the best Christmas gifts this past Christmas from my wife. She decided that this 20-year longing that I had to get a certain thing, that she would purchase it for me this Christmas. And so she thought that it would be a great idea to give her 44-year-old husband a unicycle. Why are y'all laughing? I mean, what's wrong with that? Come on. No. So it was an amazing gift. She knew I wanted it forever, and she decided, like, this year was the year. And so I'll keep it short. I tried to learn the unicycle the night I got it and then the day after, and by that point I had sprained my ankle. And so I put that down and let that heal. But what I did not realize is that I took for granted my ankle. It's one of those things that's just under me. I always use, right? But when I didn't have it, I didn't like it. And so I never gave it as much credit, Chris. I just didn't give it the credit that it deserves. And honestly, like, historically, we see this in humans all throughout history, right? There are ideals, there's value systems on traditions and opinions that we place on people, on things we don't necessarily look at as important. They just exist. And so we also see that in biblical history, right? And so really, you see Jesus speak into this in the Gospels, right? We see that Jesus, he would talk to the lepers, right? Those were people who had their own colonies. They were unclean. We saw Jesus talk to a Samaritan woman at the well. Samaritans, they were unclean. They were intermarried and they weren't pure. But yet he took the time to talk to them. He saw them. And while we're at it, Samaritan, it was a woman. A lot of times women back then were looked at as undervalued. They were uneducated, right? And so Jesus said, no, I dub this as important enough for me to engage and transform. And that's really what we're going to look at. This group of people that we're going to look at tonight, Jesus really flipped the script on a lot of what people thought in that day about people. And so instead of allowing for us tonight, instead of allowing traditions and opinions that we've, gotten along the way in our life, why don't we look at Jesus and what he deems as important so that we can therefore share that love and share that same mindset that he did. And so that's what we're going to look at tonight, because really, and let's think about it just real quick. So we know that we're going to be talking about students because we're student pastors. Mark chapter 10 covers where Jesus blesses the children. And so what we realize is that we were all kids at once, right? Would I agree? Okay, I'm just making sure. I'm making sure nobody skipped that, because if so, let's talk. there might be a book we could write about it. But anyway, no. So here's the thing. So we were all kids at once. But what happens through time is we forget that. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think Chris and I, we've talked about this, and it helps us in student ministry to look back.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're going to go through a little exercise for you guys. So adults, I want you guys to go back to when you were a child. Students, you guys can do the same thing. Maybe it's like 5 years ago, 10 years ago. I don't know how long ago it was.
Like right? Back in the day.
But I have some questions for you guys to like maybe think about when you were a kid, right? Maybe you played certain sports. I really only played like three sports. I played baseball, basketball, soccer. Maybe you had a specific backpack. This one I was telling Randy about, I was so excited about yesterday. I had this SpongeBob SquarePants backpack when I was in second grade that if you unzipped the front of it, it showed SpongeBob's underpants. It was awesome, I will say, all right? Maybe you remember a certain teacher that you had, or maybe it was for good or for bad reasons, right? Maybe you had a friend that you were really close with and then weren't close with anymore for some reason. Or what was your favorite subject even, right? A lot of people say lunch. Oh, lunch was amazing when I was in elementary school. Recess, right? PE, all the fun stuff, right? And the truth is, we have all changed a lot since we were kids, right? And a lot of times, it's for the better, right? But when we consider what it was like to be a child, it'll be easier for us to understand what Jesus is talking about in this passage today. Because the truth is that in being a child, it's not like, oh, we're looking at them and saying, oh, they're cute. They're just, you know, they'll grow up one day and help us sometime, right? No, there's good qualities in children that we can actually attribute to this.
Absolutely, absolutely. So out of respect of God's word, let's stand. Let's read Mark 10, chapter 13, or verse 13 is where we're going to start. Says it like this: one day some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could touch and bless them, but the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. And when Jesus saw what was happening, he was angry. Other translations say he was indignant with his disciples. He said to them, "Let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children." I tell you the truth, anyone who does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. Then he took the children in his arms and placed his hands on their head and blessed them. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Now just pray, Father, that you would open up our hearts to receive what you have for us tonight. We love you. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Y'all can clap. It's cool. It's not a problem. Hey, listen.
The Bible is worth clapping for, right?
Absolutely. I almost feel like this could be a challenge to you guys. Now, I know most of you come to like different weekend services, but like for those services that you're with, set in the same section as each other. Like we'll start a student section, right? And I can guarantee you your energy and your clapping will be absolutely infectious to the adults around you. Not saying there's anything wrong with you adults, okay? I'm just saying. All right? We should do that, right? All right. Challenged. All right. Yeah! All right. So here's the thing. We read this, and I was telling Chris, like, we read this, and we're like, you morons, talking about the disciples. Like, what are you doing? But they did not have the book of Mark. Okay, they didn't have the Gospels. They were just a product of a tradition or a way of thinking. And so really back then, children were loved, right? But they weren't highly valued like socially. They existed and eventually they will become a citizen of, you know, wherever they're at. And then the role of a rabbi, a teacher at that time, it was typically spent like teaching adults, like so they could understand scripture and the things that they, you know, they studied back in then. Back in then. What is that type of, what is that language? Back in then?
Isn't that West Virginia or something?
Touche, sir. Touche. But that's what they would focus on. So really for the disciples, it wasn't abnormal for them to be like, hey, no. Keep them away. They were just acting on tradition. Right? And so it's funny how, again, we look at this and go, well, duh, I wouldn't have done that. Yes, you would have. because that was just the norm at that time. But what Jesus saw was something different. How many times do we find ourselves stuck in thinking patterns that make us miss what Jesus is trying to do? Right? He does that. There's times now where we've been so stuck in a way of thinking, in a way of acting, that we miss what Jesus is trying to do. We have a student ministry that blesses me every time I see them. Like, they don't care. Like, they're just, I am who I am, and I know that Jesus loves me, right? And they will tell you how it is. Now, we have to correct them sometimes, like, hey, you probably shouldn't say it like that. But, you know, they're just honest. And we see that, we'll see that here as we go on. But those patterns, what it does is it keeps us away from what Jesus is trying to do and trying to tell us. And one of the things that Jesus is trying to tell us is that I care about generations. I care about generations. Why do we invest in kids ministry with Carol and her team and all that volunteer in the kids ministry? Can we give them a hand? I'm thankful I'm not called to kids.
Amen. It takes a certain heart, man. It takes a certain heart.
But those of you who are, thank you. Because there's need for their investing, being invested in. Jesus sees them. He blesses them, right? And so should we. God cares about generations. It's so much so that he gets angry, it says, or indignant, which means like very displeased. He wasn't just like, oh, come on. Like, come on, guys, let him through. No, he was mad. Righteously, but he was mad. And I think we need to understand that, like, student ministry, kids ministry, it's not there to babysit. I'm gonna tell you right now, we do not babysit your teenagers. Sure, we have fun with them. We goof off. Sometimes we act like teenagers. Most of the time we act like teenagers. We were just shooting a Nerf gun in the office today. That's not all we do.
No, Randy, you were shooting a Nerf gun, okay? I was being shot by the Nerf gun.
It's not all we do. But in those moments where you got to get up from your desk, walk around, get the blood flowing a little bit. But anyway, so like we are able to see them where they're at and understand and know that there is value in what is happening back there in that student ministry. And there is value in what is happening over here. And it's more than just being babysitters. We're teaching them how to love Jesus and what that means in their life. And Allie was a great example of that. Just one of the many examples that we could share. And so ultimately, adults, we can find ourselves looking at students and kids, like they're loud, they're annoying, they get in my way when I'm trying to leave church because they're playing gaga ball, whatever. That's the way we can see them. And students, sometimes you're probably in this spot where you feel maybe that adults don't even want to listen to you. Would I be correct in saying that? Like, man, they're just not hearing me. And so feeling that tension, we need to understand something, that there is value in us working together in the kingdom. And like I told, well, like Chris told on me, it was me shooting the Nerf gun. Jesus says something very specific here in this passage, and he says, childlikeness. And Chris, I know you've got some things that you want to share on that, and so it's not being childish.
Yes, it's childlikeness. Being childlikeness, right? So it would be easy to think, oh, when I hear childlikeness, I'm like, oh, I'm going to go eat goldfish and I'm going to go watch cartoons and I'm going to act like a kid in those ways, right? And that's not what Jesus is saying here, right? So if we go look at 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11, it says this, when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me, right? And so the ways of childhood that Paul talks about here are different than what Jesus is saying, right? When you are a kid, you do some stupid stuff, right? You think bathroom humor is the funniest thing on the planet, right?
I still do sometimes. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, we know, Randy. right? Sometimes you put chopsticks in your mouth and you act like a walrus when you're at the hibachi place. Let's see. We don't want to share, right, when we're a kid, and a lot of kids do this, they throw temper tantrums, right? And so this is why we put childishness behind us, as Paul is saying, so that we can grow in maturity and grow in our faith. And so as adults, a lot of times we can think that this stuff is past us. So like, oh, I'm grown, I have a job, I drive a car, I have a license, all these different things. But in reality, We get really upset when things don't go our way.
Come on now.
Right? We expect special treatment or feel entitled to certain things. Or we still do things that we're not supposed to do, right? And so this is why Paul stresses the importance of putting childishness behind us. And so in a similar passage to kind of what we're talking about in Mark, in Matthew 18, it says this as Jesus is talking about the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 18, verse 1 says, "At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, 'Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' He called a little child and had him stand among them. And he said, 'I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me.'" Right? And so Jesus says that we must change, right? We have to put the childish ways behind us and turn to childlikeness, as we're talking about tonight, right? And the truth is this, that kids need help, right? A kid on its own can't do everything on its own, right? If you took a kid and left him at home and they were only 5 years old, it is not gonna go well, right? And I'm not talking like Home Alone in Christmas movie with Kevin McAllister. That's like a cute little funny story, right? It is not gonna go well if you leave a kid home alone, right? And so the truth is this, is that Jesus was a child too, right? We don't have a lot of details as to what it was like as Jesus was a child, but he understands what it is like to have the childlike faith that we are supposed to have, right? And the truth is, kids are not afraid to ask for help. Right, I know so many times I have gone to a store or certain places and I'm too afraid to ask someone because I'll sound so stupid about the question that I'm asking, right? But the kids don't care what question they're asking because they don't know any better, right? So that is the difference between childishness and the childlikeness.
Daddy, why does his breath stink so bad? How have I heard that?
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, don't say that. Don't say that here. Say it afterwards. Anyway. So we see in this passage in Mark, Jesus is seeing these kids and he's saying, listen, guys, the faith that these kids have, this is how we enter the kingdom of heaven. And how much more should we be that with our Heavenly Father, knowing that he gives good gifts to his children? That why would we ever think that he wouldn't give us good gifts? Because Jesus is trying to give us an example here, as Chris was talking about. Kids are trusting. They're dependent. They need their father. We need the father. But we think sometimes we got this. We got this. Therefore, we don't go to him, or we just kind of coast in life. You know, kids are also, again, honest. There is no pretending with them, right? They're authentic, and they say some brutal things. They don't overcomplicate things. If I were to say right now, one of you students to come up here and hold your hand out, and I was going to give you, Tabitha's already like, I want that, whatever you're going to give me. See, perfect example. She's not asking questions. She's running up here and she's getting what I have in my hand. But as an adult, we would get up here and be like, wait a second, is it gluten-free? I'm gluten sensitive. I'm so sorry right now. But so when we come to the Father, there's so many things as an adult that we forget. And so as Jesus is reminding us, you come and you enter the kingdom of heaven with a childlike faith, expecting good things from a father. And what good things did he give us? He gave us a savior that died for us even when we didn't deserve it. And Jesus is showing them this example. Can I encourage you guys in this? These students over here, they're not the leaders of tomorrow. They're not. Because they're the leaders of today. So your investment in their lives will change history. Not because of what you do, but because you're following in what Jesus was saying. I see them as important. I see those kids as important. I'm going to bless them. We should too.
That's good. That's good. And so the last thing I really want to talk about is that we are all children of God in knowing Jesus. Right, it says this in Romans 8, verse 14 through 16. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. It also says in Galatians 3, verses 26 and 27, you are all sons of God, or in other translations, child of God, through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Right? And so not only does recognizing God as our Father put us in our place, right? Because a child does not believe that they're necessarily better than their father, right? When we recognize God as our Father, we're like, oh, God, you are so big, you're so majestic, right? But also at the same time, it helps us to realize the gift of the inheritance and the blessing that God has given us, right? And so it does not matter your age, whether you're 5 years old or 50 years old, your approach to how you approach Jesus is what matters the most, right? A child does not get an inheritance based on their performance or their status, but because of their posture. They have this willingness, this all-in attitude, not caring what others think, based on surrender and dependence. And so I want you guys to know that we're not just people that know Jesus, that like Jesus. We are his kids. We are his family, right? And what's really interesting is that if you look at in Roman culture, an adopted person actually lost his rights to his previous family, his old family, and gained all of the rights to be a legitimate heir of the new family, right? And so we inherit this Holy Spirit that it talks about in Romans as a child of God. And the Holy Spirit is what reminds us of who our Father really is. And as I was researching this, my Bible, not this one, it was a different one, had this annotation that took me back to the Our Father prayer, right? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, right? And it says, the idea of praying to God as our Father conveys the authority, warmth, and intimacy of a loving father's care, right? The way a father provides for their children, they protect and they pour themselves out, right? My dad, as I was growing up, he worked a lot of construction, and I saw him get home, and his shirt had a bunch of sawdust on it, and he had worked a really long day, and he looked exhausted, right? As we often associate dads with blue-collar jobs, right? They get their hands dirty, and they're out all day working hard, and they do it all to provide for what their family needs. And isn't it true that God, the Father, has done that all for us, right? Because he was willing to leave the 99 for us. And as it says in Romans 8, that nothing can separate his love from us. And ultimately, he even sent his son, Jesus, to die on a cross for us, right? So as we consider how Jesus used his hands to be with the little children, let us remember that we too are those little children as a child of God.
That's so good. So good. And so here's, in closing, taking this, bringing it all together and really breaking it down to just the heart of Jesus towards generations, towards kids. I have to ask, as adults, how are you blessing the children? What is it that you can do to pour into the next generation? And I guarantee you, there are people in this room right now who are getting squirmy. They're like, well, I have nothing to give. And that is a lie from the pit of hell. The Spirit of God rests in you. He has given you the grace, the empowerment to do his will. And if he is calling you, if something within you, the Holy Spirit, is drawing you to serve in kids or serve as a YP like many of the YPs do here in student ministry, if he's calling you to do that, he's going to provide everything that you need. Take that step of faith. Students, I need you to understand something. You are blessed. God loves you. There's nothing that you've done. There's nothing that you've said that could take that love away, the word tells us. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. He died on a cross for our sins. And you are leaders of today. So don't allow the fact that you are young to dictate whether or not you take that step of faith and make impact in your schools, in your family. You can lead your family. I hope you know this. I've seen countless lives changed because a student decides to come to youth group and he wants their parents or she wants their parents to bring them to youth group. They get radically transformed. Next thing you know, mom or dad's coming to church. Mm. That's the impact we're trying to make here.
Amen.
Yes. And so in closing, Chris, what I'd really like to do, and you know, I shared this with you as we were praying before the service and the worship team was practicing. If the students, if you wouldn't mind, if you just stand to your feet. We're privileged to see anywhere from 80 to 100 students on a Wednesday night. We've got life groups on the weekends that meet, which are just discipleship groups. We would encourage you guys, if you're not a part of one, be a part of one. But these students are making a choice to be here. These students, not only are they making a choice to be here, but they're inviting friends. Patrick, you just got baptized, my friend. Yeah. You know what it was? It was a result of the Holy Spirit drawing him, and it was an invitation from a friend. Don't be afraid. But here's what I want to do as we close tonight. As they're standing, I'm going to ask you guys to stand as adults. And wherever you're standing, I want you to reach your hand towards these students. Our God is a generational God. He cares about the kids. These kids face some of the craziest things that we can imagine. We're going to bless them tonight. So I'll pray, but in your own words, I want you to speak a blessing over these students. That as they go out into their schools, as they come to summer and they go to camp, whatever they're doing, that you would just ask God to bless them with the boldness and the strength and the things that they need to make an impact on their generation. So let's do that tonight. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you give us the example. You show us the value. Despite what our traditions have told us, despite what our opinions may be, despite us seeing the state of what students, teenagers, kids are going through, despite all of that, let us see the example that you showed us, that you welcomed them. You said, no, let them come. And you wrapped them up in your arms and you blessed them. And we bless them tonight. Lord, be with them. Give them the boldness. Give them the strength to stand in a generation that is falling apart around them, that they stand and be a light unto the world that cannot be hidden. Let them be able to be bold in their faith, not backing down from the arguments that come from atheism or other religions. Lord, that they stand in the gap and they say, no, let me show you the way, and that way is Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Father, for the students that are here tonight. We thank you for the kids' ministry as they are there learning about Jesus in their own way. We just speak over Carol and her team and all of those who volunteer in the kids' ministry. We just speak a blessing over them, Father, that they would be bold even at a young age. Lord, that they would know and understand the love that you have for them. Thank you so much for the example that you give us. That you loved us as a father. Just as Chris said, we are children of God. They experience that. And they go out and they radically transform the world as we know it. We love you. We thank you, Father, for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Church family, we love you, and we would love for you to come back and experience what we get to experience on a regular basis. It's an easy process. We can walk you through it, but after this, if you're interested, you can talk myself, Chris. We would love, Maddie, I don't know where she's at, but she would love to be able to help you with that. Oh, there she is, Maddie. Michael can help you with that as well.
Any leaders or parents that would like to come with us to camp. It sounds a little scary being in a cabin with a lot of teenagers for a whole week, but is all expense paid, and it will be a great time. I promise you, no matter how old you are, your life will be changed from camp. So the opportunity is available to you guys if you would like to take it.
Yeah, absolutely. Chris, you want to pray us out?
Let's pray. Dear Lord, God, we're so thankful for every single person that is able to be here tonight. God, we recognize that as a child of God, God, we receive an inheritance that is unlike anything else. God, help us to recognize what it means to have childlike faith, to all in, to surrender, to abandon the things of this world and fully pursue you. Because God, there's so many things going on around us that it can be easy to get distracted. And God, ultimately, we know that your way is the best way. So God, we pray for the parents and the students and the adults in this room, God, that as they go out, that they have this childlike faith that constantly pursues you and comes with a welcoming attitude for everything around them. God, we love you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys.